I don't know how many of you ever played a game and you failed to achieve the goal of the game. Or maybe you were playing with your friends and you lost the game. What was it that you longed for when you lost that game? A second chance. The hope that you could try again and at least try and possibly make it. And you know, sometimes in life, we all need another chance. We all need another chance with a relationship. We all need another chance with our spouse. We all need another chance with trying to prove ourselves at work. We need another chance sometimes just at making it in life because of the choices that we have made. And I want to remind us this morning, as we look into God's Word, how God is a gracious and a merciful God, and He's a God not of a first chance or a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance or a fifth chance, but He's the God of another chance. Isn't that good? Now this is what it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So we see that God is patient, and He is slow. He is long-suffering. He endures with us. How many times do you know that you've let God down? How many of you ever felt that you've left God down? We all have. Maybe it was just this morning with something you thought you said or you didn't do or did do. Maybe it was something that happened this week. Maybe it's things that have happened through the year. But God is a God of another chance. And if life is simply a series of events of which I have no control over, and it will be whatever will be, what happens when the choices I make don't walk out right and I make the wrong choices? Sometimes we believe what we are experiencing in life is our fate. It was meant to be. Our society, our culture teaches us that. When there is good happening in your life, it was meant to be, praise God. When nothing is going right in your life, it was meant to be, accept it. It's from God. Now if life was so fatalistic, where is the call and the purpose and the destiny of God that resides within each one of you who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and have received the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you simply a clock that has been wound up and left to amble along through life and hopefully make it to the place God intended for you to be? A bit like those toys that you could get from the balloon wala. You remember those toys? Made from metal in my days, they were made from tin, and in them was a winding mechanism. And you'd wind them up, and if you wound it too much, you bust the mechanism and the toy never worked. But if you wound it just enough and left it somewhere, it would click, 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 just amble along somewhere and eventually stop. And then you have to wind it up again and it would work again. Is that what our lives like? A wind up toy that God winds up and puts us on earth and says, okay, go for it now. No. Our lives are much more unique and much more richer and full because they're full of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God. And today we're going to discover that our God is not a God of just a second chance or a third chance or a fourth chance or a fifth chance or a sixth or seventh. He's always a God of another chance. He will never give up on you. So make sure you don't give up on you. Why is God a God of another chance? Why isn't God there waiting for us to make a mistake? And the moment we make a mistake, we bend over, get caned, feel the pain, suffer the consequences, and that's it. Isn't that sometimes a picture that we have of God? Which is why when we fail, we've made mistakes, we feel so rotten, we feel so horrible, we feel like this is the end of the world and there is no hope for me at all. Come on, how many of you have felt like that? We never think of the grace and the mercy of God that awaits us in that next season, that next corner that we're going to turn. But our God is a God of grace. And this God of grace is also a God of mercy. And here at Life, one of the things that we carry in our leadership is this attribute of God of grace and mercy. I believe in every one of you. We believe that every one of you, whatever journey you are facing, whatever challenges you are going through, that there is always another chance if you blow it. There's always another opportunity if you feel like you didn't make it. There is always another opportunity for you to move forward in your walk with God. And we will show the not the same, but the grace and the mercy that God shows to you is what we in our leadership want to show to the people that God puts under our care. Now here's the challenge. The more gracious you are, the more advantage people take of you. The more merciful you are, the more people will take you for granted. And it is frustrating, isn't it? You show grace, you show mercy, and people take it for granted. But you know what? That is an attribute and a character of God. So I will continue to show grace, and we will continue to show mercy, because that is how God would treat you. But here's the responsibility. If God treats us with such grace and mercy, how should we treat one another? Do we treat one another with the same grace and mercy that we expect from God? Do we give people who failed us a second chance? Do we give them a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and another chance? Or do we write them off our little black book? Do we take them off our phone book? Do we delete them from our WhatsApp group? We get rid of them from our phone because we don't want to give them another chance. Funny how we as human beings expect something of God but are not prepared to give what we expect from God. And it's something we've got to learn. It's something that we've got to begin to do, because when we do that, we open our lives up to the beauty and the grace and the mercy of God. God shows us both grace and mercy, but grace and mercy are not the same, although they are twins and they go together. You cannot have grace without mercy, and you can't have mercy without grace. But mercy withholds a punishment that we deserve. Grace gives a blessing we don't deserve. Right? So what is mercy? Mercy withholds a punishment that we deserve. We should have been punished for our sin. We should be punished for our wrongdoing. But Jesus in His mercy, God in His mercy, offered Jesus as a sacrifice for our sin, so you and I did not have to be punished. The grace of God, the result of His mercy, the grace of God is that I receive the things that I do not deserve, that God chooses to bless me, that God chooses to give me another chance, that God chooses to want for me to have a fulfilled and abundant life in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Isn't that so good for us to know? How does that relate in our relationship with God and in our relationship with one another? The constant theme throughout the Bible is the theme of grace and mercy. Too long the church has removed grace and mercy. And do you know why church and leadership removes grace and mercy? Because they want to control you. Because they want to be the policeman over your life, the moral policeman, the spiritual policeman. I'm not saying that grace and mercy is the absence of discipline and order, that it comes together with that. But surely God did not empower leadership or institutions or churches to rule and govern absence with the absence of grace and mercy. Do you see what I'm saying? We as leaders are called to love and to accept and to nurture and to encourage people towards the purpose and destiny that God has for them. Not to police them, or like I said last Sunday, for the sheep that are not led by a shepherd, but more like a butcher to the slaughterhouse. How would you like to be led? Would you like a big stick over your head? If you don't do this, if you don't come to prayer meeting, if you don't come to church, listen. You have a relationship with God, one of grace and mercy. You choose whether you make Sunday morning a priority or not. Just like you choose every day of the week whether you go to work or not. But why do you go to work? Because you know if you don't go to work, there is a big stick at the end of your paycheck that goes ka-ching. Whoops, that's 1 day off, 2 days off, 3 days off. Oh my God, I can't take it, I can't pay it. I better go to work. So what grace and mercy does not push you to work? It is the lack of finances in your bank account. Now what if God treated you and me like that? Every time you fail, ka-ching! I wonder how full the churches would be. Let's not take the grace and the mercy of God for granted. Because when we do, we step out of the blessing that God has for us. And we begin to live our lives trying to achieve things through works. But if you understand it is through grace and mercy that you are empowered to grow and flourish. When you work in that spirit, you work with the attributes of God in your life. What happens when I take the grace of God for granted? Does He give up on me? He never gives up on me. He never will give up on you. But when we do, we hinder the purposes of God from being fulfilled in our lives. We mess up. We kind of frustrate or disadvantage us achieving our purposes and destiny. Can we delay the purposes of God? Yes. Can we nullify the purposes of God? No. Can we go to the grave without achieving the reason why you were put on this earth? Yes. Does that change God's purpose over your life? No. How many of you have something in your home that you bought that you have never used? When you saw it, you thought, nice one. It'll be nice, especially kitchen stuff. I don't know about you, but I love going to kitchen shops. And you buy these cute little things and these cute little things and these cutters and these. And I mean, let's be honest. We could make lakhs of rupees if each of you brought in all the stuff that you have never used and we just resell it and give all that money maybe to the kingdom. I know in my home you could find a few thousand rupees worth of stuff. Maybe full of dust and sticky stuff from the kitchen, but it was never used. But when we bought it, it was purposed. Oh yeah, I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. And then we put it away and we never bring it out. So many believers are like these things. They know that they are purposed. They know that God has a purpose for them. But they never are in a place where their destiny and their purpose collide and where the grace and the mercy of God can explode in their lives and they can become all that God wants them to be. Amen. Now remember I said grace and mercy is never the absence of discipline and order. With grace and with mercy comes a disciplined life and order. The freedom for us to live in the grace and mercy of God means that there must be discipline in our thinking, discipline in our behavior, discipline and order in our decision making. Waking up on time, sleeping on time, planning and prioritizing our lives. Just like you do at work, Monday to Saturday, Monday to Monday to Friday, or Monday to Tuesday, whatever days you work. Prioritizing the things that matter to God in our lives, just like we prioritize having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But when we take hold of the spiritual things of God, of prayer, of reading God's word, of relating to God's people, of fellowshipping, not forsaking the coming together of God's people, of keeping our mind focused on greater things, looking to the future and not to our present circumstances and troubles. When we begin, empowered by the grace and mercy of God to do those things, we begin to move towards the purpose and destiny that God has for us. You choose, and a result of what you choose is what you experience in life. What is it? I choose. And a result of my choice is what I will experience in life. I remember years ago, we were a young couple before we had children. And I knew God's call was upon our lives and we were working. We were doing very well in London. Naomi had a good job. I had a good job. We were earning lots of money and we were doing what everybody should do when they're 25, 23, 24, whatever age we were. But we knew there was something more that God was calling us to do. And wherever God placed us, and at that time we were in a local Baptist church, wherever God placed us, we got stuck in and we got committed and we did whatever could be done. Whether it was cleaning the bathrooms, photocopying, being part of the worship team, arranging the church, we just got stuck in and did what God wanted us to do. Why? Because we knew that we had been saved by the grace and mercy of God. And we knew our expression, our way of giving back to God was not just sitting to receive, but having received, we now have a responsibility to give back. And we loved giving back in every way, financially, with our time, with our intellect, with relationships, with whatever way. We were young, we were giving back. And I remember we went to this meeting and we had a sensing that I needed to go to Bible school, and I was fighting it because I felt the responsibility as a husband to provide for my wife. It was just my wife and me, and we had bills to pay, we had a mortgage to pay, we had all these financial commitments, and I felt responsible. But I also knew, and we also knew, that God was calling me to respond, to take some time out, and to prepare myself for whatever the future would hold. We never knew what the future would hold. And we went into this meeting, and this prophetic person who would prophesy over people, never knew us from Adam. He called me out. He said, "You boy there in a plaid shirt." I had a checkered shirt on, and he began to prophesy. And he began to speak about the very things that we were questioning. And he said, "God wants you to have a year of Bible school." And ha ho ho, don't worry. This is exactly what he said. Ho ho ho, don't worry. God will provide. That was the very reason that I was choosing not to go to Bible school, because I felt I had a financial commitment that we needed to keep in our home. But you know what? We took God's prophetic word. We took His word, and it was a destiny moment. You know, I didn't have to take that word. Naomi and I didn't have to take that word. There was no leadership telling us, "You heard what he said? You better go and do what he said, otherwise you will fail." No, we just knew when God speaks, you and obey. And we went down to the local church that we knew we needed to go to, that Bible school. And I sat down with the dean of students, who was another young boy, who's now my best friend. And we said to him, "We want to come to Bible school, but you know, I'm really worried." I was still worried, even though God had spoken. And he said, "Listen, you can come and be committed for the next 2 years and allow God to work through your life, or you can wait another 5. That's all he said to me. And that was all I needed to hear. And I signed on the dotted line. That very same week, Naomi came home with a double pay rise. Destiny decisions. We think we can bargain with God. We think we can keep God waiting, and He is patient. But the longer you keep Him waiting, the longer you take to achieve what God wants to achieve in you. I could have chosen not to go to Bible school that year, 1992. I could have chosen to delay it till 1998, when I had enough money in my bank account and I had enough. But who knows, Naomi may have never got that double pay rise. Who knows what could have happened in those years? But when I did, based on God's word and in faith and under the grace and mercy of God, it opened up the store gates of heaven. We were in a small church, but we knew we had a big God. Amen. Remember, I sent a text around last week, never despise the day of small beginnings. You look at seed and you think, what good can come from this? You look at your life and you think, what good can come from you? My God, you've got to see the purpose and the destiny that God has placed in you. When we look at each one of you, we don't just see you where you are. We see you where you can be. Amen. It frustrates me when I sit with young people and they think they've got the whole world wrapped up, and they make decisions like this. Oh, I'll leave my job. Oh, I'll go here. Oh, I'll go there. No responsibility, no sense of ownership or purpose. Just want to live a comfortable, easy life. So I'll make choices. They pay the consequence for those choices. The grace and the mercy of God is still there over your life, but you carry the responsibility for your poor choices. God doesn't. You understand that? He's not liking it now. He liked the grace and mercy. But with grace and mercy comes discipline and order, which means responsibility. Amen. And I'm encouraging us here in life to understand that we were created for destiny. That there is a greatness that is placed within each one of us to achieve great things. And God wants us to reach that point of fullness and wholeness and completeness, but not through works and not through trying to achieve it through manipulation and striving and politicizing and you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back. No, just doing what God has called you to do. Being faithful in the little thing. I love the worship team and their commitment. I know what it takes to sing to a group of empty chairs, but they sing with all of their heart. They are worshiping. Why? Because they're not putting on a performance for you. They are worshiping Jesus. Whether you make it here at 11 o'clock or whenever, they are worshiping Jesus. Bang on 11, we are ready to go. Whoever's here, whoever's not, we go for it. What is that? Grace and mercy, discipline and order, responsibility. Oh, let's wait another 20 minutes till everybody turns up. No, you keep going. You set the standard. Grace sets the standard. Amen. Mercy sets the standard. And our discipline and order keeps us there. Amen. Let's become believers who don't need to be policed and cajoled and morally disciplined, but from within the inside of us, we know who God has called us to be. We know what God has called us to. We know what we should be doing. We know what we ought to do. We know the struggle and the conflict that we have of giving into the life of sin, but pushing on towards the life of grace and faith in Jesus Christ. And we always should choose life. Amen. Come on. Rick Warren says, God knows everything that'll happen in your life. He's not surprised by anything. And He knows your days have a destiny. We all get about 80 years, the Bible says. In the scheme of eternity, those 80 years is insignificant. Now, with good medication, we can live longer. So the Bible says this life is preparation for the next. God wants you to practice on earth what you'll do forever in eternity. And He has given you a destiny, something to do in this life, something that only you can do. Before you were born, God wired you with certain ambitions, desires, and drives to play a particular role in history, one that only you can play. And God places you in your career. God places you in churches. God places you with believers. God places you in family. God places you with people. And it's out of these relationships, like I spoke last week, all these relationships that work together and push us forward towards our purpose and destiny in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when we fail, when we feel like we haven't made the mark, when we feel like, never give up on yourself, because know here at Life, we will never give up on you. Why? Because you are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so you can do the good things He planned for you long ago. If you are God's masterpiece, I am no one to mess with His creation. My goal is to understand as a leader what God has called you to do, the dreams and the aspirations that He's placed within you, and to help you and guide you through God's word and the love and affirmation for you to achieve what God has called you to do, to be there, to strengthen you, to pray for you, to believe in you. We need each other to believe in each other, not to disbelieve in each other. No good is going to come from you. Yeah, you're totally useless. No good will come from you because you are so good. We all are sometimes bad, and we all are sometimes gooder than we were yesterday. But that doesn't change that I am still God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works a long time ago. Too long the church has been, when you're bad, we smack you. When you're good, we massage your ego. Such a good man. See how much he puts in the offering. Come sit in the front row. That is not church. That is not the body of Christ. You come as you are. You come with all your challenges and all your purposes and all your dreams and all your failures, and together we move forward into the purposes of God. Amen. Here at Life, that is what you will find. And here at Life, that is what we will do to grow this church, to establish the presence of God, to see people's lives transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. Your destiny is your destiny. It is unique to you. There is only one person like you. There is no one else as awesome and as amazing as you are. And you need to take hold of your destiny. You are the master of your desires. And you have got to learn to master your desires instead of letting your desires master you. We have to rein in those lustful, selfish thoughts and desires that we have to do things our way. And say, God, help me to surrender to you. I know you're a God of another chance, but let me not frustrate the purpose and call of God over my life. Let me do and obey and listen when you ask me to obey and do what I need to do. Now, how does God put us to the test? Do we all have this hotline to God? Yes. But how does God put us to the test? He puts us to the test. How does God check us out? He checks us out by putting us together. And when he puts Tripti with Ian, and Tripti and Ian with Gwen and Naresh and Robert, and we begin to start living life and we begin to do things, that's when you really see what Tripti's like, what Ian's like, what Gwen is like, what Naresh is like. On my own, I'm Mr. Perfect. Well, then I come up and Gwen upsets me, and all of a sudden, I do some Gwen thought, ooh, never did. I thought you were Mr. Perfect. And Gwen thought, ooh, I'm Miss Perfect. And then Naresh does something to Gwen. And ooh, and all of a sudden you think, everybody's not so perfect. But I'm still God's masterpiece. Amen. And we're working together to accept one another as we are towards the purposes of God. If you chose to take a car on the highway, put your foot on the pedal and break every speed limit and lost control of the car, who's responsible for that? Me. So you can't get out if you do. Say, God, why didn't you save me? So choice is powerful. Choose wisely. Make the right choices. Make destiny choices that look not at the now, but look at the future. God's will for you is not automatic. We make choices every day, and God's will. And the choices that we make are either God's will or my own will. Every choice that is made in relationship to God's purpose for you draws you closer to your destiny and purpose in Christ Jesus. And so I want to encourage us as we step into a new month in May. I love the new series on stones. I've been preparing for it. I'm really excited about it. We're going to learn so much from the Fattar Ki Kahani series. Is that Hindi right? Perfect? I told you I was perfect. No, I'm kidding. But coming back, God is a God of another chance. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on other people. Don't give up on what's happening in your life and say, God, I need another chance to push forward. I need another chance to keep going. Here at Life, we are a church of another chance. Amen. You will find the love and acceptance here. You will find the power through the grace of Jesus Christ to do all that God has called you to do.